The Book of Job, chapter 42, and verses 1 to 6. The Lord has spoken to Job. And here is Job's reply. Now, Job has broken in once in that discourse, but now comes his final response. Then Job replied to the Lord, "I know that you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted. You asked, 'Who is this that obscures my counsel without knowledge?' Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. You said, 'Listen now, and I will speak. I will question you, and you shall answer me.' My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes." Job 42, verses 1 to 6. This is a tremendous response by Job. This is a most instructive passage of Scripture. Unbeliever, Job is setting out here what you need. Job is showing you here, if you'll only listen, he is showing you what must happen to you, the response you must make to God. I go further. Job is showing you here the response that you will one day make to God, whether you like it or not now. You may laugh at this, you may dismiss this now, but one day you will bow your knee, you know, and your tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And Job has opened out to you, if you only listen to him, he has opened out to you the kind of response you will make. But whereas the response made now is to salvation, and to redemption, and to forgiveness, and to peace with God, in that final day, that day of judgment, my friend, I warn you, it will not be a confession to your redemption, but to your damnation, a vindication of God. Jesus Christ is Lord. You will bow the knee. My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore I despise myself. You will know then the sort of things that Job is saying. But instead of being redeeming and the place of forgiveness, as it will be now, I assure you, on the authority of God's word, it will in that day just be for judgment. Look at what Job confesses. Now, you'll understand these are very brief discourses, just seed discourses. There's much here that could be developed into a separate discourse, maybe even separate discourses. I just want to give an overview. Look at what Job confesses, that he knows. Verse 2, I know. He's talking about God too. I know that you can do all things. He's not talking about religion. Now do you see the difference? I'm not talking about church or chapel or denomination or doctrine or this or that or that. We can talk about that. But the great business is to know and have dealings with God. I know that you asked, you said, I will question, I, speaking of God there. God is speaking. It's all to do with God, you see, not religion. Now, Job knows. He understands. No, he doesn't really understand, but he appreciates, he recognizes, he realizes, he's experienced. This experience has given him experience. Light has broken into him. The entrance of God's word, the entrance of God's presence has brought light into his ways. He knows, he understands now, or appreciates anyway, power, the power of God. I know that you can do all things. And he knows the sovereignty of God. No plan of yours can be thwarted. He speaks of God's power, he speaks of God's wisdom, he speaks of God's infinite majesty here. The sovereign power and ruling will of God. He knows that God can, and he knows that God does, that God will. He doesn't look to fate or religion. He's trusting in God. He's having dealings with God. And this is what you need, my friend. I dare say that you might be religious, respectable. You have these routines and so on. Well, all that's in their place, well, isn't it good? But no, my friend. You need dealings with God. You need the life of God in your soul. You need to talk to God, and God to talk to you, and God to reveal himself to you. So he knows about God, or something about God. He knows something of God now, and he actually knows God now. He walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. He speaks to me, and I listen. He reveals himself to me. Saul of Tarsus, you see, was a religious man. But in Acts 9, outside Damascus, Christ spoke to him. Christ revealed himself to him. And he came to know the Lord. You need that experience. Brother and sister in Christ, that's precisely what's happened to us. God has stopped us in our world career. And he's made us know and see and realize and bow the knee and open the heart and receive the Lord now. We have dealings with God himself because God has dealings with us. And Job also knows his own nothingness. You said, listen now. Verse 3. You asked, who is this that obscures my counsel without knowledge? You said, listen now, and I will speak, I will question, you shall answer me. And how does Job respond to these contacts from God, these words from God? How does Job respond? Surely, surely, I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. My ears had heard of you, but now mine eyes have seen you. Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. What's Job saying? He knows his own nothingness. He's humbled before God. He quotes the word of God. He doesn't rebel against God's word. He quotes it, applies it. He's not kicking it against that word. You see, Saul again had been kicking against the goads, against the pricks. He'd been wounded in his conscience. God was speaking to him and he was rebelling. But on the Damascus road, he fell down. What do you want me to do, Lord? See, it's the experience Job is having here. Although I think it's a restoring experience for Job. It's a real experience for him. He's confessing his own ignorance, his presumption, his pride, his boasting, his rashness, his impatience. He's confessing that he is a sinner, and he's looking to God. He knows that God is everything. He's ignorant. He's responding to God. Oh, unbeliever, will you respond to God? Will you confess your sin to him? Will you admit that you're ignorant? Will you admit that you need to be saved? Will you admit your own impotence that you can't save yourself? Will you trust the Lord Jesus Christ? There is only one way of salvation, and that is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust his merits, trust his blood, trust his righteousness. Rely upon his work, his person, his name, his promise. Believe him, trust him, receive him, and you will be everlastingly saved. Are you too proud, too self-sufficient, too self-glorifying? Will you not repent and return? Is this a word for a believer who needs to be restored after backsliding? Then come back and confess to God all your sins, repent, and he will receive you. The book of Hosea is full of it. God calls you back to repentance and to return to him, and he will restore you. He will restore the years that the locust has eaten, book of Joel. And if you're an unbeliever, come for the first time. Show me yourself. Show me myself. And show me my Savior. There's a prayer. Oh God, show me yourself. Show me myself. And show me my Savior. That's a prayer for the believer. Unbeliever, that's what you need. You need to know God. You need to know yourself. And you need to see the Lord Jesus as your only Savior. And he is the only Savior. Can you say he is not only the Savior, he is my Savior, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me? You must have this relationship with God. There are two words here which are absolutely all-powerful, vital. And it's in verse 5. My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. But now. I haven't time to develop this. I've preached on it and written about it. If you look at the but now in Romans, for example, but that's not the only place. the but nows in Romans. This is the great key, my friend. It's the great key for understanding the Bible, the great epochs, before Christ and after Christ. But now that Christ has come, it's the great key to all this debate on New Covenant theology. But more than all this theology and New Covenant theology and so on, it's the great individual need. There must be a but now in your life. Once I was blind, but now I can see. Once I was deaf, but now I can hear. Once I was far off, but now I am brought near. Once I was dead, but now I am alive. Once I couldn't feel, but now I know. Once I was ignorant, but now I know. Now I can see. Blind, deaf, dumb, dead, but now, by your grace, you have made me to live. Job had that experience. Every true believer has had this experience. He has a living, she has a living acquaintance with God, but now. Unbeliever, that's what you need. You need the but now. And it is now, too, not tomorrow. Now. Now is the day of salvation. So from this passage, Job 42, 1-6, I promise you the salvation that you need if you trust Christ. I urge you to come. I command you to come. I invite you to come. I press you to come. Will you not come? Will you not come now and be saved? May this short passage and this very brief discourse upon it come with living power. As I've said time and again, we need to hear the voice of God. May God speak through my feeble words and use them to address sinners and bring them to Christ and edify every saint who listens to this. And may the glory be God's and the blessing be ours. Amen.